So in the church, we've been going through Luke's Gospel, which is the third Gospel in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And the passage that we've come to today is the one that we've just heard, which is about blessings and woes. In Luke's Gospel, Jesus was preaching the good news of the kingdom of God, and he was healing the sick. And he then turned to his disciples and he began to teach them in the passage that we've just heard. In Matthew's Gospel, it's called the Beatitudes, which means blessings, and it's part of the Sermon on the Mount. In Luke, we've got quite a sort of slimmed down version. And Luke also includes woes. So we've got blessings and we've got woes. Have you noticed that we're in the middle of an election campaign? Have you noticed? Vaguely. Is it a blessing or is it a woe? Well, I guess it sort of probably depends a bit where you're at on the political spectrum, or even if you are bothered about it. All the political parties are promising blessings, aren't they, if you vote for them. And they're promising great woes if you don't. Who are we to believe? Someone said none of them. Where is the truth to be found? Do you know what Jesus said? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's amazing. He said, I'm the way to the Father. No one comes to the Father except through me. So I think that's actually a good reason why we should listen to the teaching of Jesus. So here we have in Luke the teaching of Jesus. To be blessed means to be happy. It means to experience something good in our lives, something positive. And most of us want to be happy, don't we? Most of us want to be blessed. And a woe is the opposite side of that. It's something bad. It can be something terrible. But in a sense, the fact that we've got Jesus teaching about woes here is a good thing because they act as a warning and teach us what to avoid. Now, the whole idea of blessings and woes didn't actually originate with Jesus. We find them many times in the Old Testament, in fact. There's some really interesting ones there as well. For example, Proverbs, proverb being a wise saying, blessed are those who find wisdom, who gain understanding. We were praying this morning that Charlie and Lauren would have wisdom, or we all need wisdom. And then Isaiah, a woe. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes, who are clever in their own sight. So that's a warning when we think we're know-it-alls. But let's look at these blessings and woes of Jesus, because I can tell you, they really make us think. They make me think, and I think that's what they're intended to do. We've got four of each, and actually they're paired together, so each blessing is paired with each woe. Well, let's look at the blessings to start with. Oh, there's Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. Sorry, I should have put that up to begin with, but there we go. Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who are hungry. Blessed are you who weep. Blessed when people hate you and exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil. And then we've got the woes. Woe to you who are rich, woe to you who are well fed, woe to you who laugh now, woe to you when people speak well of you. Doesn't it look like Jesus has got it the wrong way around? Except that's not all of it. What could there possibly be good about being poor, hungry, sad, or hated? And for that matter, what could possibly be wrong about being rich, well-fed, joyful, and generally accepted? See, that's not the whole story. And see, Jesus, I think, puts it like this, to get our attention. Because he is, certainly in my view, the greatest teacher who ever lived. And one of the marks of a great teacher is to get our attention. He certainly does it here. Because he's not really saying that it's a blessing to be poor, hungry, sad, or hated. But what he is saying is that if you experience these things, and we all do, these places of difficulty, these places of trial, they can become a blessing. And in fact, therefore, these blessings and woes really give us direction and they're a cause of great hope. Jesus gives an explanation for each one. He says, well, blessed are you when you're poor because yours is the kingdom of God. There is a blessing when you hunger because then you can be satisfied. There's a blessing in weeping and mourning because it can be turned into laughter. And I know we supposedly live in an age of sort of anti-discrimination, but there's a lot of hatred out there and around, isn't there? Don't know about you, but Jesus says, actually, when people do hate you, exclude you, insult you, reject you because of the Son of Man, there can be a blessing in that because there can be a great reward in heaven. And remember, that's how they treated the prophets as well. And so we've got the same kind of thing when it comes to the woes, being rich, well-fed, happy, well-spoken of. Things that are not bad in themselves, but can become a woe. Well, how? Because when you're rich, you might think you've already received your reward. If you're well-fed, well, you're no longer hungering for maybe something that you should be hungering after. When you're laughing, you might be missing the most important thing, and the day will come when actually you will be mourning and weeping. And when people just speak well of you, well, remember the false prophets and those who didn't speak the truth, that's how people loved them. See, what we need to see is that these blessings and woes are set in the context of Jesus preaching the good news of the gospel of the kingdom. And this is a gospel that, first of all, calls us to repentance. And for those of us who have been following through for the last few weeks, we've seen that Jesus is the one who forgives sins. Jesus is the one who brings healing. Jesus is the one who's calling us into a new and right relationship with God through faith. See, these blessings and woes, if we're just seeing them, if you like, from a human point of view, without having eternity in view, without recognizing God, we can just think, well, they're all about this life and it really doesn't make sense. But Jesus has eternity in view and he has our ultimate good, our real good in mind. He said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. We want it now. We want an instant blessing. Do you know, the other night, I was awake in the middle of the night. And I went on my phone and I just tapped a few buttons and I ordered a book, and the following day it arrived. That's an instant society, isn't it? We want it now, and so often we can get it now. But the blessings that we're reading about here are not necessarily instant, because God wants what is really good for us, and he's got the long term in view. Things like poverty, hunger, sadness, rejection are not pleasant, but they can work for good. In fact, there's an amazing verse in the Bible that says that all things work together for good for those who love God and have been called according to his purpose. These hard things, these difficult things, can actually work to point us to the source of true blessing, who is Christ himself. The second thing we have to realize about these blessings and woes is it's not just about materialism. And when we realize that, they actually begin to make more sense. It's not just about being materially poor. Most of us here are not materially poor if we compare ourselves with the whole world. It's not either just about being materially rich with a lot of money in the bank. The hunger also, not just about being physically hungry, not just about being physically well fed. And when we go to Matthew's gospel, we actually see that Matthew makes this explicit, because he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." He says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled." What does it mean to be poor in spirit? It means to be humble. Like a little child, they will inherit the kingdom of God. And so often, we fill our lives with all sorts of things, not bad things, to enrich our lives, but it's so easy for these things to so clutter our lives that actually we miss the thing which is most important, which is Christ. It's almost like all these other things which are there to bless us, but they can so easily take the place of God in our lives, become like little gods. But we need to be poor in spirit. Humble ourselves, declutter our lives, if you like, from all these things. And the call of the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, is to recognize Jesus as Lord. The Apostle Peter said, "All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble." That's quite a thought, isn't it? We've all got pride in our hearts. God opposes that pride in all of our hearts, but he gives grace when we humble ourselves. And to hunger, not just physical hunger, but a spiritual hunger, which is actually in the heart of every human being. And often we don't recognize it, but a hunger after God, a hunger after his righteousness. But you see this all over the Bible, particularly in books like the Psalms, which you've already looked at this morning. "As the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O my God." And Jesus promised, they will be filled. They will be satisfied. And so when we hunger and when we thirst, then we have that possibility of finding the real blessing, which is knowing God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The third blessing, "Blessed are you who weep now." Well, what good can there be in that? But Jesus says, "For you will laugh." Weeping for what? Well, weeping for those things that hurt, damage, break relationships. Jesus commends that, weeping for our own sin. God is a God of all comfort. The Lord comforts those who mourn. We're told in Isaiah that he bestows upon them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. This is the good news of the gospel. The fourth blessing and the corresponding woe points to a cost, the cost of following Jesus, the cost of being a Christian. There's always a cost to following Jesus. There'll always be those who hate you, if that's not too strong a word, certainly are not very impressed, or will tease you about it. But Jesus said, "Great is your reward in heaven." So said, blessing's not always instant, not always just for now. Jesus himself was raised from the dead after his sufferings, and he was glorified in heaven. And the promise is, for all who believe will also be raised at the resurrection on the final day and be glorified. Now, I want to finish this morning with a parable, with a story. Jesus told lots of parables, and he told lots of stories, which is one of the reasons why his teaching is so engaging. But this particular one, which is also found in Luke's gospel, sheds light on these beatitudes or blessings and woes, and in particular, the woes. And it's called the parable of the rich fool. And there's so much we can learn from it. He said, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." And that's really what we're seeing in these blessings and woes. What is life all about? If we were to lose everything, if there was to be a financial crash, or you lost your job and you couldn't pay the mortgage, or you had a financial crisis in your life, what would be left? You would be left. You would be left. Because life itself does not consist in the abundance of our possessions. The real person, the real you. And so Jesus told them a parable. And he said, "The ground of a certain man, a rich man, yielded an abundant harvest. And he thought to himself, 'What am I going to do? I have no place to store my crops.' So he said, 'This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, for this very night your life will be demanded from you. Who then will get what you have prepared for yourself? Woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your reward.'" Jesus said, "This is how it will be. For whoever stores up things for themselves and is not rich towards God." So it wasn't the rich is themselves that was the problem. This man was not poor in spirit. He filled his life with the abundance of his possessions. He took life easy, eating, drinking, making merry, because he thought to himself, tomorrow we die. We have had a dedication this morning. We've talked about life being a gift of God. If that's true, then it's not just Esther's life that we dedicate to God. We should all be dedicating our lives to God, because he has eternity in view. God called him a fool because he had no thought for God, his creator and his savior in his life. The God from whom all blessings flow. The blessings and the woes in Jesus' teaching, in fact, point us to Jesus himself. Point us to Jesus, who's the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.
Amen.
Let's just bow our heads for a moment. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for our time this morning. Heavenly Father, we bless you, Lord, for your presence. And Heavenly Father, help us to take those things that we've heard this morning, Lord, to think about them, Lord, to think how we can respond personally, O Lord. Might they be like seeds in our lives for a future harvest, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.